Just on the 15th, we celebrated the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and we heard in the Gospel the familiar words of Mary's Magnificat, in which she says that God humbles those who are mighty, that He lifts up the lowly, He casts the proud-hearted from their thrones. That there's this common theme in God's working with humanity of bringing the small things to bear great fruits, and those who are proud and full of themselves being humbled. Certainly we see that this seems to be God's plan throughout all of salvation history. We see that when He wanted to bring a people together to be His own, He calls an old couple who had been thus far unsuccessful in bringing in having children. He takes Abram and Sarai, and He changes them into Abraham and Sarah, and says that they will be the parents of His new nation, a worldwide family, which now, 4,000 years later, we continue to celebrate and to remember. But God's plan for this family was to turn it into a mighty nation. And so He again takes the unlikely candidate. He takes this family which has gone to Egypt and is now enslaved, and He pulls this family out of Egypt. Out of that mighty nation, He takes the slaves, and He brings them into the Holy Land after 40 years of desert camping, and there He gives them the promised land, and He brings them up to become a mighty kingdom. But God has bigger plans even than taking that family and turning it into a mighty kingdom. He plans that this nation, this family whom He shares His love with, and with whom He has a special bond, will share that love, that knowledge of God, with the entire world. And so God wants them to see His covenant with them, not as a treasure which they hoard for their own, but rather as He wants them to see themselves as a priestly people who bring salvation to all the ends of the world. It seems that perhaps this salvation is also to come from the least likely of places. And so Jesus comes into the world and is incarnate of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the town of Galilee. And as we heard yesterday from Saint Bartholomew on his feast day, he says, "Can anything good come from Galilee? Nazareth is a little podunk town. That's where there's hillbillies and fishermen. What good can come from such a town?" They speak there with such a thick accent that you could barely understand them. But this is God's pattern of behavior. He says He will take the weakest and the least among us so as to demonstrate His power. Whereas the best and the brightest, the biggest and the strongest, those people like Pharaoh and Goliath and Caesar, these are not the ones that God chooses. He chooses the least likely to succeed, the little ordinary people. Why? So that His glory can be made known, so that no one person who is successful can take the credit, no one who seems to have less gifts should ever lose heart. For there is no one who is qualified enough for the kingdom, nor is there anyone who is so disqualified that they do not have a place either. Rather, we see that even the all-stars can get into heaven if they get off their throne, if they humble themselves before God. We see that the kingdom of heaven is opened to all, that its membership is offered to all humans, every one of us. And this is, then we can see that all are called to be part of God's people, to find themselves in the Catholic Church. The only one who could earn salvation is the one who has already done so. And He chooses to share it freely with all of us as an undeserved gift. And this is why we call it grace, that unmerited, undeserved gift of God's life, His love. And He gives it to us through our union with Him, through our sharing our life with Him. He gives it to us through the Church. And so it's good for us to remember that the word Catholic means that that grace, that membership in God's family is unrestricted, it's universal, it's for all peoples, all times, all places, for the whole world. And so then we should pause and ask ourselves, if this means that, if we're saying that God's unmerited free gift is so broad, so universal, does that mean that everyone is going to heaven? I mean, how could a loving, and large-minded and generous and merciful God send anyone to hell? And yet the person asks in today's gospel, Lord, will only a few be saved? It's very important for us to see that God does not send anyone to hell. As St. Paul writes to Timothy, God's will is that all men will be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We see that God's heart is very large. But as the gospel also says, the door to that salvation, the door to God's heart is narrow. And Jesus Christ is that door. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And so he has promulgated, he has made known, he has revealed the Father to the world. He has let his plan for salvation be known. He shares himself, he reveals himself to all of us. And so the pathway to that door has been published and promulgated. And the Father regularly issues personal invitations to each person. Come to me. Bring your troubles into my sacred heart on the cross so that I may bring you to salvation. But people still need to accept that invitation, and they need to walk through that door. And it is apparently many who choose not to do so. Some won't enter the door, perhaps, because they've been offended or even scandalized by one of the doormen. Others choose not to enter the door because they think it is too narrow-minded to insist that there is only one door to enter into heaven. And to say that this is the door bothers them. Others are just really busy, and they say that they'll enter the door later, perhaps when things settle down, when life gets more simple. There can be so many reasons why people choose not to enter the door that is Jesus Christ. So many reasons why people choose not to live that sanctifying grace into their lives and to live the life of grace. But there comes a moment when the journey is over and the door closes and is locked. And wherever you stand at that moment is where you will stand forever. The fact that you were baptized Catholic is no guarantee that you are now on the inside. The fact that you have gone to church and received Holy Communion is no guarantee that you are on the inside. It's as the people in the gospel said, Lord, we ate and drank in your company. But now we find ourselves on the outside. The fact that we have gone to Catholic school, the fact that we learned our catechism as children is no guarantee that we are on the inside. The people said, Lord, you taught in our streets. We heard and listened to you. And now we find ourselves excluded from the kingdom. My brothers and sisters, actions speak so much louder than words. I remember hearing that over and over again growing up. And so the words, Lord, Lord, let me in, or the words of the hymns that we sing at church on Sunday mean nothing if our body language throughout the week is not also crying out, Lord, Lord. As our Lord said in Matthew chapter 25, whatever you've done to the least of my people, you have done to me. If we are not encountering the Lord in our daily life, if we are not bringing Christ to others in our daily life, if we are not working for the kingdom of God 24/7 with all of our heart, mind, and soul, then where do we stand? On which side of that door? Because ultimately, the choice is made not once on the day of your baptism or on the day when you kneel down and profess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but the decision is made each and every day up until that last day. Each day walking through the door, each day walking through Christ, each day walking hand in hand with him, carrying the cross towards heaven. And we don't know what day that will be when we find ourselves with the door locked. The question we need to ask ourselves is not so much, will there only be a few people saved, but rather, where do I stand right now? And we need to pray and act so that we may be part of that few.